I have hit it. And I hit the button. My levels look sweet. My levels are tits, as we used to say back in the very early 90s. Do you have a sound test you can give me, Yosef?
There is one thing you can do, Joey. You can die.
Perfect.
Welcome this evening, everybody, to the Just Becousins podcast. My name is Joe Neal, and in the virtual studio, thousands of miles away, is Jason Mark.
Hi.
He's my brother from another mother, but the same grandmother. And we're going to talk about murder today. We're going to talk about other people being murdered. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a murderer. It's the Just Becousins Murder Show.
Murder.
I don't know why I said that. Good evening, Joe. It's been a long time. It's been, gosh, a week. How have you been over the last week?
I've been pretty good.
You haven't been murdered?
I think the moms liked the mom show for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
At least they told me that they did.
Oh, good.
And I expected as much. So I don't know if they're telling the truth, but I think they might have enjoyed our effort.
I'm glad that
so that's
well.
Good. That yeah. felt good.
So we're going to talk about murder today.
Yeah, we're going to go a completely different direction.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about murder.
Yeah. Now,
and I want to be clear to our listener.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about murder, but we're not into murder.
You are.
As far as I know, you're not a murderer. I haven't murdered anybody. And I don't want people to be murdered.
Neither of us have been murdered.
We haven't been murdered yet. And this is kind of like, I think that there's a show that I listen to all the time. I remember one time you were trying to remember the name of one of my favorite podcasts, and you were like, what's that show that you listen to? Like, Hooray for Killing? Or, and I was like, no, it's My Favorite Murder.
Yeah. Hey, and, speaking of that show, in preparation for this show, I listened to that show. I didn't listen to all of it, but I listened to some of it.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, it turns out I'm following – it's two ladies, and I can't remember their names, but it turns out I'm following one of them on Twitter already, so there's that. And then when I turned on the show, first thing that happened was one of them burped really loud, and they laughed about that. And then they just started dropping F-bombs all over the place. These women just curse constantly, which was great. It just really – it just felt good. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that I got off on it or that it's like – you know, my cup of tea. It just really leveled things out so that I wasn't like listening to, I guess what I'm saying is listening to them and then listening to us, I feel like we are in the same space. You know what I mean? They're famous and they're making money and they're doing tours. We're not any of that stuff. But in terms of like production and quality and saying fuck all the time, we're exactly the same.
Definitely. I mean, they say fuck as much as us, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
we might
more.
Say fuck a little bit more.
But no, I think
I was
they
listening
do.
To right before the Mother's Day episode, our listener probably knows we did the motherfuckers episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard you say the word fuck. I've never heard you say motherfucker so many times. It was great. It was like a purging of demons or something. I felt like you had a lot of energy there. But anyway, maybe on that show you say fuck more than the My Favorite Murder girls, but they're really liberal with that word.
They are.
And it does. It kind of makes me feel a little bit better about my fuck habit.
They just drop it in wherever. Like, even when they're telling the story, like, they did a lot of upfront sort of like, hey, how you doing? We're doing this and blah fucking that, blah fucking this, blah fucking that. And then they get into the story and it's like, okay. And so then he like fucking picks up a knife, and I was just like, yeah, this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's a really good show, and those girls have great sense of humor. And what I was trying to do here is, you know, we're not into murder.
No.
Like, we're not trying to glorify it. That's what they do at the beginning of their shows, like their live shows. They make sure that everyone knows, like, look, we're going to be cracking jokes, but we're not trying to – you know, they do a really good job of – quick disclaimer.
Yeah.
But then they say, you know, if you're still not on board after what I just said, then go fuck yourselves. I like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
At a live show, they'll be like, so if you don't like this concept or what we're trying to do here, then get the fuck out now. And everybody goes, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to do, because I know we're gonna talk about murder, and I wouldn't want our listener to think that we're enthusiastic about murder itself.
Who? This is not me being sarcastic. Who is enthusiastic about? Who's into it? What's it? Again, I'm not being sarcastic. Generally, there are people out there. What kinds of people are like, oh yeah, murder? And I don't mean murderers or serial killers per se. I mean, who likes it?
You ever heard of Norwegian black metal?
Yeah, yeah. From you?
Oh, there. Yeah. Well, there was an entire scene. I think maybe it was in the 90s or like late 80s or something. But those guys walked around and they were into murder. At least that was what they were trying to say.
Okay.
They were all talking to each other like, murder's great. Oh, yeah, killing. That's so cool.
Okay.
And then one of them like horribly killed himself. And then the other assholes like took a picture of his dead body and made it one of their album covers. And then murder ended up happening. Like, those people ended up being murderers, a few of them. So, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But what I'm saying is, I mean, there are people, I think, that are excited about murder. Yeah. Some of those people are murderers. Some of them are just
whack jobs.
Idiots that are trying to be hardcore, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the thing is.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, the murder is so. I hope I'm using this word right. Murder is so endemic to American culture, right? I mean, books, TV shows, movies, it's just everywhere. Here's an example I'm talking about, kind of. When I was a kid, high school, I would write these stories about a character I made up called Dirk Damage, and he would go on these adventures. He was like sometimes he was a spy, sometimes he was a private eye, you know, that kind of thing, right? A lot of cloak and dagger stuff. But it was all fairly innocent. I mean, it was goofy, right? So recently I was thinking maybe I should resurrect Dirk Damage and write some stories about him. And then I realized if I were to write some sort of like, you know, private eye or spy thing, nobody's going to even think it's interesting, including me, unless there's a murder in it. It's like it's got to be serious, unless it's like a personal exploration of like, oh, I'm starting to feel my inner child and now I'm arrested for, you know, pedophilia or whatever. I don't know what that means, but you know, it's one of these drama things, or it's a romance, or it's a I don't know, it's slice of life. But if it's just going to be some schlocky old genre fiction and it doesn't have dragons in it, you got to kill somebody. So there are people who are into murder, but I think only in as far as it's about like TV shows and movies and books.
Yeah, I mean, people have people that are healthy, I think, have it's fantasy land. It's drama. It's an escape. There's a fascination, I think, with real crime.
Right.
But it's I think it exists in people's fantasy world, even when they're watching like true crime, like Forensic Files and stuff. Yeah. It's they're sitting there just kind of being at a safe distance from this horrible thing, so they can explore it in their imagination.
Well, it's definitely,
you know,
it's
none of these people want murder, you know, at their doorstep,
right?
Most people that watch Forensic Files are like, oh, okay, so maybe that's how I could get away with it. Like, I need to start planning my next murder, like, or my first murder. Of course, that's probably the case for, you know, the very small percentage of people out there that are psychopaths and and really do want to kill. Maybe they watch these shows and they're like, they get ideas or they get excited or, you know.
Well, I'm sure that happens, but I think from the standpoint of psychology, and you can correct me, I think you probably know more about this than I do, working at Taco Bell and everything, but if a person is so twisted that they want to murder for no reason but other than just to do it, I mean, yes, there's people out there like, well, I got to kill this guy because, you know, he stole some money from me, or he, you know, ran over my dog, or he ate fish in a weird way. I don't know. But if there's someone sitting there going, oh, I just want to feel what it's like to murder someone, those people are so twisted that they're also not sane enough to follow a plan and plan it all out. They don't sit down and say, okay, let me open up a spreadsheet. Okay, I'm going to need tools. I'm going to need, you know what I'm saying? They're too disorganized. That's sort of like the, if somebody kills somebody, the first thing the cops look for is motive, right? And it's like, yeah, if you can't find one, good. That's good in as much as there should be a billion other clues, because the person who doesn't have a motive for murder is so disorganized, they're going to leave behind DNA and all kinds of trails and connections and things. I think in the real world.
Go ahead.
In the real world. But in books and movies and stuff, it happens all the time. Some guy pops up and says, I just like to kill. Here's 400 pages about how much I like to kill, you know. And then James Patterson makes another $10 million or whatever.
Well, my understanding is if you're just a normal person, and even normal people be – in certain circumstances, normal people will become unhinged and be capable of murder.
Right.
It's deep in there. It's within us all, I think, the capability to kill. And that maybe explains why, you know, mankind has been at war, and that's an option and something that's happened over and over again. But then there are people that plan murders. You're not saying that that never happens.
No, right? No, there definitely are. I mean, I think probably, well, I don't know if there's more planned or more fits of rage murders, but yeah, but those are usually murders that are expedient in some sense. Like someone says, you know, I got to kill this guy so I can get his wife and she'll fall in love with me. Now that he's got a reason. The murder is not in and of itself the reason to commit the murder. Like if you gave this guy an option of like, okay, instead of killing him, just make him, you know, literally disappear. He'll be on Mars in a nice house from now on. You're like, oh, that's, yeah, I'll do that. Right. But so those people are saying that. I know you don't get an insanity plea if they can find a concrete motive. They just like, okay, you killed him because you know he told you that you smelled like dog food and you were insulted, so you carefully planned his murder over the course of 15 years over the smell of dog food. It's kind of lame, dude. You're gonna do well in jail. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, what did the guy? You ever see that show Homicide Hunter?
No, I haven't.
Homicide Hunter. It's a show actually that takes place. Every single murder is from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah. And and it's this guy. Oh, damn it. I can't remember his name. But it's every story is told by him. He's like an old man telling you like fireside tales. But every single tale is true because he solved like 400 fucking murders in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he says several times, he goes, there's only three motives for murder. Sex, money, and revenge.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I mean,
and,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, but if you're talking about someone like Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer, I think those are kind of exceptions for the rule. I think he's just talking about
sane murders. He's talking about sane murders.
Yeah. Well, you're normal everyday murderers.
Yeah, your guard variety.
If you think about Ted Bundy, maybe I don't think. Maybe it was some deep sense of revenge. As I understand, the guy was very resentful toward women on some level, and maybe some of it was sexual. I understand that he was a rapist. He was a rapist, Ted Bundy. And what was the other one? So revenge and sex and money.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a real psychopath, I don't think you're ever in it for the money. That's not your motive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we talked about the Joker several episodes ago about how he was, like in one of the movies, spoiler alert, he burned literally a mountain of money. Because he just likes the craziness of it, and he kills all the time. I know he's a fictional character, but yeah, no, I think if you're crazy, you're not in it for the money. But you may be, something twisted in you thinks it's sexual or thinks it's revenge or both or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so there's psychopaths, and they have this. There's a yearning to kill, right?
Sure.
And those people end up, if they get better and better at it, and they don't get caught, their planning gets pretty detailed, yeah. Right? And those are psychopaths. And then you have the normal everyday killer. We're talking about sex, revenge, and money.
Yeah.
And then, but then there's psychotic people.
Okay.
And
they're not passive.
Most people that have psychosis, like schizophrenia, as yeah. I understand, most of those people are not violent. In fact, right. just if you take the general public that does not have mental illness, a higher percentage of those people are violent and capable of murder.
Yeah, yeah.
Than people with psychosis. Right. But see, people with psychosis, this is kind of ties into what you were saying. They oftentimes, their motives are, you know, born of paranoia or right. like they think, you know, everybody's out to get them, so they lash out, or they sure. think that there's some huge evil conspiracy going on that they need to interrupt
right.
or disrupt or something like that. And again, I don't know a whole lot about this, but there's a lot of people with schizophrenia are too disorganized to really plan that out well.
Right. And, right. Or their plan is crazy. It's just like they'll sit down and say, okay, I'm going to murder this guy. I'm going to need a can of Pepsi. Okay, I got that. I'm going to put a pencil in my nose.
Yeah, it's
okay.
not a good plan.
Yeah, it's not a plan.
It's not an organized
yeah.
plan.
Yeah.
But then there's something called delusional disorder. So it's kind of okay. like schizophrenia, but it's without – It's really – it's paranoia only.
Okay.
And so there's not all the disorganization. There's not a bunch of hallucinations, which could really get in your way if you're trying to execute a murder correctly.
Sure.
I guess. I don't know. But anyway, delusional disorder, I think there are cases of those people being pretty good at planning the murder and then executing it.
Okay.
But their motive at that point is completely disconnected from reality.
Right, right.
Okay.
So when Joe Kenda, that's his name, right? The homicide hunter guy? Yeah,
Joe Kenda.
Yeah, Lieutenant Joe Kenda. When he is saying sex, revenge, money, he's talking about sane murders. But we could come up with a billion different reasons why an insane murderer would murder.
Hey, there's an unbelievable hum coming through here.
Is there?
Do you
is
hear that?
Here? I do.
I had to mention it.
No, you're right. It's coming up on my mic, too. Let me see if I can.
It was coming up earlier, too. And
yeah, there's
it
something
was distracting.
In the house.
I hope it didn't. No, because I missed a lot of what you were saying.
Sorry. There's something in the house vibrating. It's vibrating my desk, which is vibrating. I'll just have to hold the microphone. Is it gone now?
Could it be? Yeah. Yeah. You're good.
And let's see if it's back.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Oh, man. What is it? Oh, well. All right. I'll just hold the mic. I'll be old school. What was I going to say? I can't remember. Damn it.
Well,
this hum has murdered our show.
Three categories of murderers.
Yeah. I was
psychotic murderers, general, good old, everyday murderers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a category that we could fall into if we're pushed to the brink.
Yeah.
And then there's psychopaths.
Well, okay. So if you're going to break sane murders down to, you know, sex, money, and revenge, that I think that suggests that there are other times when a person will kill another one and it's not going to be called murder. Like self-defense, for example. That's not sex, revenge, or money. It's self-preservation, right? But then I don't
right.
think you would
and
call
then what
that...
what would war be, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you would call those murder, though. That would be the distinction. Like, the word murder has this flavor about it, you know, where, like, if... You know, somebody's like, oh, I'm going to kill this doctor because he gives people abortions. And it's like, well, he murders babies for money, right? That's his motive. But I'm not murdering him. I'm protecting the babies. And so that's why that person thinks it's not murder when actually
yep.
it is. So that, you know, maybe would fall into the category of these people are crazy because they think they're not murdering what they are. I don't know.
Well, then there's just war, and you know, those people aren't considered murderers, and
no.
but it's killing, and that's
yeah.
the thing.
Well,
so you can kill, and it's not considered murder. So I'm glad that we've really boiled down this definition.
Well, I want to keep boiling because you brought up
keep
war,
boiling.
And I wanted to, like, if you let someone die, I mean, is that murder? And yes, this is going to be tied to war. So if you're like, okay, I could say the dude's life, but I don't like him. Someone let him die. Now, is that murder? I'm going to say it is. right? Murder is not just trying to kill somebody.
Why would you call that murder?
Because it's...
Oh, you mean... Oh, see, when I was saying let someone die, I thought maybe... I don't know. My mind was going toward, like, what if somebody had, like, a terminal illness and they wanted to die and you allowed them to, or maybe even helped them.
No, somebody is like...
That's a totally separate thing.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about, like, somebody's standing on a railroad track and there's a train barreling down and you could say, hey, buddy... But then you're like, nah, that guy, he cut me off in traffic last week, so fucking,
right? And so you just watch him die.
Yeah. So would you call that murder? I think the courts do. I think the law does say, hey, if you can keep somebody from getting, like, they call it depraved indifference or something like that.
Wow, that's a great term.
Depraved indifference
and
it is.
And that's, is that the charge, or does the charge become murder?
I see, that's, I don't know, but I do think, and I'm not a lawyer, obviously. Boy, could anything be more obvious? But I'm going to go ahead and say I would call that murder. And the reason why is because I'm going to go back to war. If a soldier pulls a trigger and the bullet flies across the battlefield and hits some dude in the eyeball and he dies, I'm not going to call the soldier a murderer. But I am going to call the the person who told the army to go do that, I'm going to call that person a murderer, because my feeling is that person is not motivated by anything except, in this case, money. I am going to take a very cynical view of war. I'm going to say that when the president says, all right, we got to go over there and kill a bunch of people, what he's really saying is we got to go over there and either protect our money or get more money. I don't think war serves any other purpose but then to make another country poorer than it is, right? You just wipe out their workforce, you know, young men. And yes, I know that old people and women can work too, but you're noticing that old people and women are more in the army now than they used to be. So if this person's saying, hey, soldier, go kill that person, the soldier's not the murderer, but the person who told him to do it is, and that's why I do think war is murder. And you could say, what's that got to do with anything? I'm saying this is the whole depraved indifference thing. This is the whole thing like, well, I didn't pull the trigger. Yeah, but you told him to, and you expected people to die, and you could have stopped it. You could have said, hey, soldier, instead of going and killing him, why don't you go help them build some schools? No, fuck that. I want them to die. So I let them die. Because I told a soldier to do it. You see my point, what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I think that a lot of war, maybe most war, is motivated. Like, the people that are making the decisions and triggering war, or like setting war into action, I think you're right. It's murderous. The motive is financial most of the time. But I'd like to think certain wars are just like, okay, we really do have to stop. Like, come on, World War II, people were trying to stop Hitler. Maybe there was financial stuff tied in there. I don't know enough about World War II, but I feel good about – I think there are some wars where it's like, okay, now we have to protect what we have, and, like, let's go to war to stop.
Well, tell you what, I'm not going to argue with you now.
Okay.
Because maybe we could do it on another episode, because I guess I could talk for hours and hours about war and disagree with you and agree with you and stuff, but I see what you're saying. Let's get back to
sure. Murder. Well, let me just put it this way. Let's I would back. Like to think that the motivation for a war such as World War II, I think that there might have been actually that might have been justified to a certain degree. And again, we can argue about that. On some
and for the things. Record, I disagree with you 100%, and then that will be fun to talk about later. Which is not to say that you are wrong, and I'm not saying that you now have a motive to murder me because I'm telling you you're wrong. Don't do that. That's not sex or revenge.
No, I'm able to take a disagreement between you and I without becoming, you know, without flying into a murderous rage.
What would you do if, like, I was murdered? Would you, and you had to do a podcast without me, would you be like, okay, the podcast is now going to be about how my brother from another mother, same grandmother, was murdered? Or would it be like, okay, we're going to talk about anything but that? Or would you just stop podcasting altogether?
It's the latter.
Really?
Option.
Man, yeah. I would.
I wouldn't like go on the following week and be like, okay, my brother from another mother but the same grandmother is not here because he was murdered, and I need to just process that with no one here on my microphone and then listen to it the next day. Oh, my God, that sounds like terribly depressing.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. If you got murdered.
Look, I should hope that if I were murdered, it would be the end of the podcast.
No, no, it would be the beginning of the podcast, Joe. I would start to go. I would do it like 3-4 times a week. I'd get all your family and friends on there, people who don't even know you, and say, let's talk about Joe's murder. It would be the most pathetic, disgusting, self-involved, just terrible thing. And it would be for the rest of my life. My wife would leave me. My kid would shun me.
Because it would become a murder show, and it would at least at first it would revolve around my murder. Would you try to solve my murder?
No, it would be.
Would
called,
you bring on guests?
No,
see, I'm
no,
making it all about
no,
me.
I wouldn't, because they would have caught the guy or the girl. You see, what in my fantasy, you're murdered by a gorilla, a man dressed like a gorilla. Actually, it's a gorilla that they thought was a man. No, it's a man. It's three guys. One of them's a gorilla. No, his nickname's Gorilla. There's a guy named Gorilla. And he wants to have sex with you. And then there's a guy named Steve, and he wants to get revenge. And then there's another guy who thinks that you're rich. And they go out and they murder you, but then they murder each other, and that's how it's solved. And now our show is called Just Be Carcass, and it's about you.
Just Be Carcass.
Yeah.
Tell me what the hell would you talk about then?
Oh, I'd be like, I would like, let's say I got, I don't know.
Like,
I would get Laura on here, and I would say, okay, Laura, you were married to him, you saw him naked, but I've known him way longer than you. Between the two of us, who is most grief stricken? And then we would fight, and that would be the podcast, that kind of thing. Or like, you know, I get I would get the mom of the dude that killed you, and I say, hello, Mrs. Doxenflocker. Did your son kill my cousin because your last name is so stupid sounding? And then we would fight.
Well, if I were murdered by Gorilla Doxenflocker,
yeah,
and you had my wife on, I think, well, you know, the whole first episode, you would have to deal with her like crying.
Oh, come on, dude.
Or laughing, maybe, depending on what her emotional response was to my death.
Oh, it might be.
And whether or not she helped. The murderers.
No, Joe, you misunderstand me. In as much as I would do like a show called not my favorite murder, but I would call it my only murder, which is this one. I'm not so heartless that I would bring your wife on first episode. I mean, okay. I've got some sympathy, you know, I'd like second or third episode, the very earliest. First episode, no, it'd be just me just like crying at the microphone. It would be 3 hours of me going, they didn't use the bat. Why did you have to do a turkey baster in his eyeball? This is not necessary. And we like that for 3 hours, and then it would end. And it would end like this.
Yeah. Well, then maybe episode two, you could bring on Rod Stewart. Ask him what he thinks, and he'd be like,
"Yeah."
Know what you're talking about, mate?
Don't know. In a
suddenly,
Scottish
Rod
accent.
Stewart is Australian.
I thought he was. Is he Scottish? Didn't he do something with Australia? He married one of them. Anyway, I'm not gonna look it up.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, the reason why that's funny just to me and Jason is because I'm not gonna allow him. He's not allowed at my funeral.
Right.
We've discussed that many times. And if I died and you brought him on the podcast, that would just be the ultimate insult to my memory.
It would be very insulting. And that's why I'm gonna not do it. Just for you, man. No, I hope you don't get murdered. It's like one of my top, I guess I would say top 10 hopes, wishes, I guess you could say. It's like, you know, I would really like to give Katy Perry a foot massage.
With the written consent of your wife.
Yeah, exactly. I would really like to hike Machu Picchu. I would really like Joe to not get murdered. I want my kid to get into a good school. You know, that kind of thing. So... Now, I'm hoping you don't get murdered.
Well, like I said before, if you got murdered, and I don't want you to be murdered, uh-huh. I would just stop doing the podcast.
Would you? Okay.
But if somebody threatened my life and held a gun to my head and said, you must continue the podcast, I would have it. See, I envision myself trying to solve your murder.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's the type of murder entertainment that I'm into. If there's no solving of it, if nobody's trying to figure out who did it, then... It's not murder entertainment.
Would you maybe hire Joe Kenta to investigate my murder?
Joe Kenta? Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I'd get him on the podcast. Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't, because he wouldn't do it.
He might. But, he might. What about this? You said if somebody put a gun to your head and said, stay on the podcast, here's the thing, Joe. If you still refused and you said no and they killed you, that's murder. And now I'm still doing the podcast even though I'm dead. What?
Yeah. That's yeah. Just be carcass.
It is. It's just be crazy.
It's nothing. It's dead air.
Yeah.
Because neither of us are doing the podcast.
Dead air. I get it. Speaking of dead air, we're at the 30-minute mark. We got a couple ads to do. Should we get them over with here?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. Who's going first? I think I went first last time. I did. You want to go first this time?
All right. Let's do a word from our sponsor then.
If you're only going to watch one movie this week, don't miss the shoot 'em up action blowout of the season, John Wick 3, Parabellum. All the critics agree, John Wick 3 is a must-see. Sheena O'Malley from RogerEbert.com calls it high adrenaline, fast-paced fun. The Observer's Oliver Jonas calls it exhausting, overwhelming excitement, and totally uncalled for. Richie Broden from The New Yorker mumbles, Jesus, enough already. Donna Steven from Slate declares, if I see one more body crash through a pane of glass, I'll throw my own body through a 20th story pane glass window. Matthew Normandy from the London Evening Standard says, it's as if John Wick bursts from the screen, bends your arm backward on itself with a loud crunch, and then shoots you directly in the face 5 times point blank. You can't hold John Wick down, rants LA Times' Kevin Moore. You can't hold him up either, not when he's bearing down upon you with all his body weight, slowly pushing a katana blade through your open eyeball into your brain. Richard Rober compares this movie to John Wick chopping your arm off with a sword as you ride on a motorcycle at 120 miles per hour, and then being clotheslined off the motorcycle with your own severed arm. The movie doesn't stop there, Rober continues. Its shoulder rolls out of the shadows and blasts a hole in your jeans with a shotgun, exposing your charred and smoking butt cheeks, then rams the whole barrel of the shotgun up your ass, and blows your motorcycle helmet completely off your head as your face explodes. Then it breaks the barrel off in your butt and uses the still-working ass-broke shotgun to fire 5 point-blank shots each into your heart and groin, reloading after each expelled round. Jamie Jenner from Larco Tonight screams, oh my god, it's John Wick! What the hell are you doing in my house? Dan Adams from Slate calls John Wick 3 a thrill ride from beginning to end. The New York Times calls it a decent effort. And Time Magazine raves, not bad, I guess. John Wick 3, Parabellum. Now playing at the...
I have to see this movie now.
I saw John Wick 3 today.
I haven't seen any of them.
Just a
coincidence that they happened. Yeah. I haven't seen the first one. I know it has something to do with a dog, and I want to see it, and I guess I will eventually. But and maybe we'll do a movie episode. We'll talk about our favorite shoot 'em up movies. Or did we already do it? And I said my favorite shoot 'em up movie is a movie called Shoot 'em Up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, wait. Can I do a really quick Brendy corner? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have a...
We went...
Here.
I wish we had an intro for Brendy Corner.
This is the intro. You ready?
Ready. Ready.
Silence.
Yes.
Ready. Or I will place an energy...
Okay.
Okay. We need to work on that one.
We do.
But, dude.
Sorry.
So, well, Brendy's whole thing is she unexpectedly says really kind of offbeat, funny shit. I don't know where it cracks me up. Now, we went to see John Wick 3 in the theater. There's going to be a little bit of a spoiler here, but not really. You're right. John Wick tends to revolve around dogs, and in the first movie, there's an incident with a dog, and it kind of triggers everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, John Wick 3, we're sitting there. The entire theater is packed, and a dog gets shot in part three, and the whole theater goes completely silent. Wow. And then you hear Brendy yell, "Are you fucking kidding me right now?" Oh, it just made that moment so much better.
Oh, my God. And did she say it because she was appalled at everyone's silence, or she said it because she was appalled at it happened in the movie?
I talked to her about this afterwards. Yeah. I think she was just she was enjoying the movie, yeah. And the last goddamn thing she wanted to see was another dog get hurt. And she was just real disappointed at the way at that turn of events.
I can appreciate that.
Anyway, so that's Brendy Corner.
Okay, Brendy Corner. Brought to you by
Ready.
Silence, or I will play.
Boom!
Okay. Okay, here's the here's the lockup.
I'm gonna murder you.
Murder me. Wow, that's loud.
Back in 1956, Harry Belafonte told us about how he had to work all night on a drink of rum. That might seem far-fetched nowadays, but it all depends on what kind of work you gotta do. Or what kind of rum. Introducing Rum Rojo from Larco. Nighttime is the best time for rum, and it's the best time for the kind of work you need to do. No matter if it's for love, or money, or revenge, or just because you're a sick, twisted bastard who gets off on that kind of thing. With Rum Rojo, you'll be able to, as the philosopher says, get her done. And I do mean done. Done for good. Rum Rojo comes in three flavors. Red, blood red, and sick, twisted bastard blood red. Add a bottle of Rum Rojo to your toolbox along with your knife, your gun, your rope, your poison, or an ironic use of a sharpened fragment from a broken world's best dad mug. So put on your clown makeup, take a shot of Rum Rojo, and go do God's work. Or the devil's. Or whatever, you sick, twisted bastard. They won't know what hit them. Unless you want them to. Rum Rojo. Don't say it backwards. It don't make no sense.
Alrighty. What a coincidence.
Rum Rojo, that's awesome.
It's tasty stuff, too. The guys at Larco sent me a case of it just because they had some around. So, yeah, I liked it a lot. And, totally coincidental. Nothing was set up in advance, folks. You brought up Joe Kenta, right? And you said sex, revenge,
the
and
motives,
money.
Yeah,
and so did this ad. It said, well, it had four. I guess we brought up the fourth one, Sick Twisted Bastard, so... It's kind of interesting. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, there it is.
How about
Holy
that?
Shit, that's right there in the copy.
Right there.
Who read that copy? I really like that voice.
I don't know. It's they sent it over, and I just pictured this guy. Actually, you know what? I pictured Joe Kenta, even though I had never heard of him before, just now, before you brought him up. I just pictured this old weathered dude with a cowboy hat on, and he's like, you know,
let me tell you something.
You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think if you looked at Joe Kenda?
It could be Kenda. I don't remember.
Anyway, if you looked at a picture of his face while you listened to that ad, I think it would really work.
Yeah.
It would match perfectly.
Yeah, Kenda, you're right.
He said, don't say it backwards, so that's like a hoarder? You're right, that makes no sense.
No. Well, should I give it away? I don't know if I should give it away.
No, don't do it.
Okay, I won't give it away.
I got it.
You got it. Sure, okay, that's all that matters.
Got it.
As long as you got it, that's all I care about. Cool. Okay, so thanks, folks, for paying for the stuff. Let's get back to murdering each other. You were talking about John Wick. You brought John Wick. Do you have, like, in your brain, in memory, a movie murder or TV show or book murder that really stands out, like, to you? Is like, now that's a murder or...
Like, I do, but now that we've really broken down the definition of murder, I don't know if it fits, but it's so – I think about it a lot, and I can't help it. We're going to have to, like, break it down and talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It is a murder that is supposedly, it's supposedly a true story.
Okay.
And the first time that I ever heard about it, I was watching this movie called Magnolia.
Okay.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
So at the beginning, he breaks down all of these coincidences that are, I almost said fabled to be true. I don't know. I've looked them up, and I can't get to the bottom of it, whether they were made up or not. But there's all these crazy coincidences that he kind of montages at the beginning of this movie. And the movie's crazy, and it's really good, I think. But a lot of, I think the population is torn on that. Some people are like, oh, that's a piece of shit. And other people are like, it's brilliant. I'm one of those people who think it's brilliant.
Okay.
The murder, and I guess it's not a murder, but I'll break it down. Here's the situation. This crazy couple, they're like alcoholics, volatile, screaming at each other all the time. The woman had this gun that she kept unloaded. There's never bullets in it.
Oh,
but they
dude.
Would yell and scream at each other.
I know this story. I was going to bring this up. I've never seen the movie, but okay. I was going to tell – go, because I was going to tell the same story. Go. This is
no
amazing.
Way.
Yeah.
All right, so for the sake of getting the story out, here we go. This lady's screaming at her old man, not her dad, but her husband. And says, "You fucking son of a bitch, I'm going to kill you." And she always waves the gun around and points it at him. And he's like, "Why don't you just shoot me, you fucking bitch?"
Yeah.
You know, and this happens all the time. A terrible, terrible relationship. And they have a teenage son. And he can't stand his situation. And they live in, I think, like the 14th floor of some rundown building.
Yeah.
And he lives with his parents, and he can't stand this anymore. And he's decided that he's going to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts a bullet in his mom's gun that she's always waving around and pointing at her husband, his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the bullet in the gun. And he goes to the top of the building to jump off the building.
Yeah.
She grabs the gun, is yelling and screaming at him. And as he jumps off the top of the building to kill himself, she accidentally fires the gun and misses the dad. The bullet goes through the window and hits the son as he falls past the window, killing him.
Yeah.
Now, here's the really fucking weird thing.
Uh-huh.
That day there were painters painting the building, and there were nets at the bottom of the building. So his suicide attempt would have been unsuccessful. Well, it was unsuccessful. He was killed, not by his jump, but by the bullet that he put in his mom's gun.
Yeah.
Is that how you remember the story?
That's, except for it was – the story was it was a grandmother – and the grandfather had a shotgun that he was always waving around. The grandson was mad at them because they wouldn't lend him any money, and because he was broke, he decided to jump off the building. But otherwise, everything exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Okay, did you put any like research into this? You're better at that than me, trying to verify this and that.
No,
the stories that we've told are different.
No,
where did you hear this?
No, they're not different. It's the same situation. Somebody decides to kill themselves, but they're not going out alone, and they put a bullet in somebody's gun that's supposed to be empty, and it shoots them by mistake.
When by the way, your comm is back.
Oh, it is? Oh, sorry.
Yep, yep.
Thanks for telling me. So it's the same story, and I had heard it – well, let's see. Magnolia came out in 1999. I'm pretty sure this urban legend – for want of a better word, is something I heard about way before the movie. I believe clearly the movie was based off of this story, which
yeah, I mean, I guess that's
it's 100%
urban
fictional.
Legend.
Yeah. But that's so crazy. I mean, that was the. I'm having a stroke.
You can do it. Speak.
As we were moving towards podcast night, I was thinking about that very story. And again, I've never seen Magnolia, never read the Wikipedia page, so I'd never heard of it. Wow, what a coincidence. So, and because what I wanted to ask you when I told the story, now I don't have to because you already did, was is that guy guilty of, like, he wanted to kill himself, so he was successful, so you could call it a suicide, but he wanted to murder someone and he was successful, just got the wrong person, right? So it was like,
yeah,
it was like involuntary.
Wait, it's successful suicide, but not in the manner in which he had intended.
Right.
So I don't know if that makes it.
I mean,
you can't really charge someone with suicide.
I think you would call it attempted involuntary suicide.
Okay.
Would be what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's just so fucked up.
Attempted murder. That didn't work out at all. Well. Right.
The person
manslaughter
he wanted,
on himself.
On himself. Yeah. Attempted. It was attempted involuntary. See, I really like putting attempted and involuntary together because they're opposites. So it's attempted involuntary self-slaughter. It's attempted
self-slaughter, man.
Self-slaughter. Yeah. So I'm gone. Okay, good.
It's a weird story, and
it is.
You know, earlier this is a little bit weird. This is kind of a coincidence. Earlier, you were talking about how three people conspired to kill me,
yeah,
each having different motives.
Yeah.
Right?
They had one each. Yeah. Sex, love, and revenge.
Well, since you've never seen Magnolia, you don't know that one of these things in the coincidence montage at the beginning had to do with three guys conspiring to kill another dude. And they killed him. In a place called – I'm going to get this wrong, but in a place called Greenberry Hill.
Oh, not Xanadu? Okay.
I think I've got this right. Greenberry Hill. Okay. And the last names of the dudes, coincidentally, were Green, Berry, and Hill.
Oh, okay.
That's just a fun story.
Greenberry
but
Hill.
When you, I was thinking about it when you were sitting there talking about three guys are going to murder Joe, and I was like, oh, it's kind of like Greenberry Hill.
There we go.
Weird.
That's so weird. My favorite murder, not to steal the title of that other better podcast.
Yay for killing.
Yay for killing.
Hooray for a wrongful death.
Anyway. I guess that's what I'll call tonight's show. I'm going to call it Hooray for Killing.
Oh, my God. I cut you off. What were you saying?
No, it's okay. I mean, when I try to think of like murders that I saw, I guess by our definition, the thing I'm thinking about is not really murder, but you remember the TV show Angel? It was the Buffy vampire spinoff.
Yeah, I never saw it, but
and there's a nerdy guy. He's a watcher. He's a watcher, which in the Buffy universe is like every new Slayer girl gets some British dude who is her watcher. He hangs out with her and tells her like, "All right, vampires over here, and you should, you know, don't use the wrong fork when you eat," and that kind of shit, right? So there's one of those, but this guy, he's not working with Slayers anymore. He's hanging out with Angel, who's this vampire who has a soul. None of this matters. The point is that there's this other person there that the Watcher's in love with named Fred. It's a girl, and she's really cute, and there's a point where this demon disguised as the nerd's... What's his name? Wesley.
Just call him Poindexter.
Well, it's Wesley, so that's pretty goddamn close. There's a demon who's disguised as Wesley's father, and Wesley never had a good relationship with his father because they're British, you know? And so he shows up, and he's, like, being mean
That's
to his
racist.
Son. It is. and you know, there's this all this friction, and it just builds and builds and builds until finally, because of different things, and I'm probably misremembering, they're on the roof of this building at night, and the demon father has got Fred, the girl, like, held hostage, and Wesley... you know, he's got a gun and he points it and the dad says, "Oh, come on." And then he pulls the trigger, just pulls it. None of this whole speech thing about how you don't have the guts to pull the trigger and Fred saying, "No, don't do it," or "Yeah, just shoot him," or whatever, all this stuff. It was just like, he just starts the rant and boom, pulls the trigger. The guy's dead. I was just like, that was so satisfying. They skipped all the bullshit, but it's not murder. It's not murder. It's just, you know, self-defense. Well, it's Fred defense. I think we can all agree Fred defense is not murder.
No.
Yeah.
No, Fred defense is justified.
And then there's the murder in Exorcist 3, which was just so awesome, but we've talked about that before, so.
The murder in the Exorcist 3?
Yeah.
When the nun runs across the hallway with the big head chopper offer. That's what it's called, right?
Head chopper offer is right behind her. Yeah. And that's murder, but it's also a horror film, and it's just not, I mean, it's not like, I don't know. When I think of like just good old fashioned functional murder, you know, it's like The Sopranos, right? Like Tony is going to visit various colleges with Willow, his daughter, right? He's looking at these colleges with her, and he happens one time to walk by this window, and he sees this statue in the window, and he recognizes it because there was this guy who had it, and he turned state's evidence on the mafia and got witness protection. So after Willie goes to sleep, Tony goes back and he kills the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just there was no passion in it. There was no anger. It was just like, this is what we do. This is what I have to do. I have to kill him. I can't just let this go. I got to kill him. You know what I mean? It was just so matter of fact.
Well, this brings up maybe a gray area in the land of murder.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about the motives, well, yeah, I guess it's all money then.
Yeah, money and revenge in that case, right?
There is revenge, but a lot of the mob killings, I think, are straight up financial, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, I think it's revenge in the sense of protecting the business, and the business mm-hmm. is about making money. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a certain amount of honor, but then, you know, really brass tacks, it's like, look, you're putting our organization at risk, and so you must be killed.
We got to kill you, yeah. So those are just your straight up, but... Like, I haven't listened to much. You've listened. Is there a story from My Favorite Murder that resonated with you? You're like, that was a good murder. That was a good story. Anything?
You know, I've listened to so many murder podcasts that a lot of the podcasts will end up doing the same murders. You'll hear three or four different versions of the same story.
I didn't know this. You're into murder.
Yeah, I'm into true crime
shows
and podcasts. Yeah. That's how I got into Homicide Hunter.
Okay, yeah.
And Homicide Hunter, that guy, Joe Kenda, is so fucking funny.
Like, oh, is he? Okay.
It's all based around him just telling you the story of all of the murders that he solved. And he's just got this attitude. I should have, like, prepped some sort of – or like, brought an example of how hardcore he is.
Well, we're probably going to do a part two because we got 9 minutes left and we definitely have not killed this topic.
And the girls from QJU, Quietly Judging You podcast, they're huge fans of My Favorite Murder. And they heard we were doing a murder podcast. One of them is my wife.
Yeah.
Well, Laura and Shags want to do part two with us, if I understand correctly. Yeah, they'll bring their favorite murders and whatnot. Cool. I wanted to say that I think the craziest murder that I ever heard of, they ended up doing a whole documentary on it on Netflix. And the documentary, if you haven't seen it, you should watch it because it's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's called Evil Genius.
Okay.
And the murderer, the person who kind of set the murder in motion, is this psychopath woman. But it's weird. They had this pizza delivery guy. They strapped a bomb to his throat, like to his neck.
Yeah.
And had him rob a bank.
Oh, yeah.
And then all these cops, like, surround him, and he's just sitting there, and he's like, this thing's going to blow up. Can you help me? Can you help me? And he fucking blew up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I could just kind of wrap up the whole rest of the story, but it's pretty complicated. I can't believe that's how someone was murdered. They actually just strapped a bomb. I don't think he's totally innocent, but he certainly wouldn't have chosen to rob a bank, and they ended up killing this guy. Anyway, that's one of my favorite murders.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's crazy. I'm looking at the Wikipedia
page. I guess anybody
that
wants to hear that whole story, Evil Genius on Netflix, will break it all down. And that woman is truly scary. Do you ever – hey, man, I wanted to ask you. Do you think you've ever met – well, maybe you know.
I was going to ask you the same question.
Maybe you don't, but have you ever met someone who is a murderer?
I am not aware. I cannot think of anybody I've ever met that I knew was a murderer or that – has since become a murderer. Like, I knew them in the past. Like, I remember him. Now, my wife has. My wife went to high school with a guy who later, like a year later, like, she didn't know him when this happened. She knew him before. But his medication got changed, and he flipped out and took an axe to his family. True story. Wow. So she knew a guy who became a murderer, but I have never met somebody who had done a murder. Have you?
Well, yeah, but there was a kid that we went to high school with, me and my friends, that, you know, we didn't realize that he was in this terrible situation where he had been abused his whole life by his parents, and he ended up killing his parents. He's still in jail. There's a documentary about him, actually. And I was watching this other murder show with my wife, and I realized that I knew the guy.
Whoa.
And like, that fucking blew my mind. That was just like 2 days ago. What? And I said, I looked at my wife and I said, I know this guy.
Whoa.
And what, yeah, it really fucked me up because, and so this is what happened. This guy ended up, he thought that this girl was his girlfriend. Like he kind of hung around, he was like this asshole that hung around this girl and she kind of tolerated his presence and he was obsessed with her.
Yeah.
This was when he was 16.
Yeah.
And I was 16 too. This guy I went to school with. And he finally was like, okay, I'm going to kidnap her. Well, you know, in his mind, he's like, no, I'm going to bring her with me and we're going to move to Florida.
Yeah.
It was him and his little shithead friend. And this girl got strep throat and was homesick.
Okay.
And he went in and grabbed her, put her in the truck, and then started driving to Florida. And he fell asleep at the wheel, flipped the truck, and, you know, she was thrown from the vehicle and died.
Wow.
And I think he was charged with murder. I don't know if that stuck, but I mean, think about that. That's a weird kind of, I consider that murder. He kidnapped her. He didn't want her to die, but he trapped her in a vehicle and then crashed the vehicle and she died.
Right,
so what do you think about that?
I mean, I don't think I wouldn't call that murder. I'd call it, you know, I would say he deserves to go to jail forever for doing it, but I wouldn't call it murder because it's all about intent, in my opinion. Also, I need to watch this documentary because as soon as you gave the details, my brain's going, how do we know she was not going along willfully? I mean, how do we know? Obviously, there's details I'm not aware of. And if you knew the guy, then you would know better than anyone.
Here's the thing. The guy ended up getting out of jail.
Okay.
And we knew the dude. That is, he was kind of a creep that we didn't like either. And we didn't want to hang out with him. In fact, I was telling my wife, I have this memory of my dog when I was a teenager. He walked in my front door without knocking, and my dog fucking attacked him.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Which is that's a weird memory to have. And then later on, because of Facebook, I don't know if you remember this, but like people from your childhood all of a sudden will start looking for, okay, I'm going to – when Facebook kind of first became really popular, everybody was looking for, oh, I wonder what happened to all these kids, you know, all these people from my childhood.
Yeah.
Well, he friend requested me on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I looked – as we were watching the show, I said, Laura, they changed this dude's name. I know his real name. And I actually texted my dad and I had him like find articles from where he lives.
Yeah.
Anyway – I looked through all of these friend requests that I never answered.
Yeah.
And there he was.
Whoa.
And so he got out of jail. He went to jail for like 3 years for like kidnapping.
Okay.
And he's out. And so I looked at his profile and like he like works at a body shop and he seems still like a real creep. Isn't that
that's messed bizarre. Up. That's bizarre.
And that's the thing. Anyway, my dad helped me look into it. We thought that this dude just went to jail for kidnapping. That he kidnapped her. No. We thought that they were running away together.
Right.
And she died when he crashed the car. So I didn't realize how fucked up it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Until I saw the show.
Yeah, that is crazy. Dude, you know so many murderers. I'm trying to think if I've ever met anybody who was subsequently murdered, and nothing comes to mind. Because, you know,
I'm going to say this, too. Our comedy podcast, oh, Christ. But
we'll make it into a joke then, you sick bastard.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say there are people that I was fairly close with that after I lost touch with them. I'm thinking of one person in particular that ended up being murdered, and, okay. and it was really sad.
Oh. Well, I was going to say something about
that. But there was like a big drug problem involved, okay. and she was killed by her drug dealer. And the really sad thing is she was pregnant.
Oh.
So, like, I've been uncomfortably close to.
You have been? How are we possibly going to spin this into a joke?
We can't. I say we just stop.
Just stop? Okay.
How about this?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to end the show off on such a thing, but we're talking about murder, so we ran the risk going this way.
We did.
But we're going to have the girls from Quietly Judging You, Shags, Funtime Shags, and Laura Pauline, and we're gonna pick this topic up again, and it's going to be a little bit more fun than the last 5 minutes.
It will be. I mean, the show is always more fun with Shags and Laura, so... Here's my assignment. You talk to them. If you talk to them, I'm going to ask them on the show next week or whenever we do it. I'm going to ask them, one, what their serial killer, which serial killer they most identify with and or would be like. And or
ooh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, you know, somehow, like, or come up with a name like, you know, oh, Shags is known. She's known as the beefsteak murderer or something. I don't know. She kills people with a beefsteak bone. You know, that's question one. And question two would be like, okay, so if you're going to murder somebody, how would you do it? Right? Because you got to talk about that. So what?
Yeah. Actually, and, I kind of thought we would get there on this episode.
Right. But. Yeah. I figured we would. So I think it's been a good show, all things considered, even though we ended on a bummer note. You know, we still got 3 minutes to talk over the lark, the wake song.
Well, on a positive note, we have not yet been murdered. Nope. As far as I know, nobody's planning to murder us or any of our loved ones.
That's right.
We're in good shape.
I think the closest I've ever... For me, murder is fiction. It's always like... It's, you know, TV shows and books and movies and that kind of thing. I've written books where people get murdered.
I like to keep it most of the time in my brain.
Yeah. I've written books about murder. I've done that. My first book. Do we say what the name was?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's a great book, man.
It's a murder mystery. Your book has murders in it. Lots of murders.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it does.
I've since then written, let's see.
So your book was about a world with anthropomorphic vegetables.
Yeah.
And my book was about vampires.
Yeah. And since then, I wrote another book called The Wanderer, which is a guy who murders sick, twisted people on behalf of Satan. So there's a lot of murder there.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
can I read that?
Yeah, I'm going to send all these to you. And then there was another one that I wrote, which is about a guy who... Again, it's Satan involved, where he tries to kill himself, but he fails. And so Satan's like, hey... can you kill this guy for me? And the guy's like, why should I kill him? He's like, I don't like him. Can you kill him? And so he tries. I don't know. We should do a Satan show. I guess I'm fascinated with Satan. But
I would like to do a Satan show.
Let's do a Satan show. Okay.
Now, you know, I wanted to say there's lots of murder in your zombie book, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I wrote a vampire book. You wrote a zombie book. There's murders all over both of those books. And we're not... Well, you're a published author. I'm not.
Self-published.
I was so happy to be done writing a book that I just abandoned any process subsequent.
Hey,
so.
You sold copies at your gigs, and I bet you've made more money off of that than I have. And that counts as publishing, so you're published too. Limited run.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, play a big rock and roll show and then say to the crowd, anybody want to buy a vampire book that I wrote here? That actually worked pretty good.
Yeah. And... We're going way off topic here, but I don't give a fuck. Joe, you look like a vampire in that photo that you texted me the other day.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I guess.
Hey, I think Edward, who plays Edward Cullen, the actor from us, from...
Can't think of his name.
What's it called? Tar Heel? No. Star Stuff? Twilight. Star
Toilet.
Stuff. Toilet. The guy who plays him. He's a good looking guy. If you look like him, you're good looking. He was in Harry Potter. And he got murdered.
Hey, we're back.
We're back. All right. Yeah. Anyway.
I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
My sound test at the beginning was from the same movie that Fuck You, Joey was from.
Oh, okay.
By the way, just a little tidbit, a little Easter egg.
Joey.
I'm trying to figure out what to scream. Hey, man, will you do the scream for the first time ever on the show? Give us a scream and then we're done.
I like killing. God, that sucked.